Well, as the music would indicate and the decor of the sanctuary would indicate, we are in the midst of a series that focuses on marriages, but not just marriage, but also relationships in general, whether we're single or widowed. The information that we talk about having an effective and healthy marriage relates also to all of our relationships. So we continue in our series, You and Me Forever, as we follow a book that Francis Chan and his wife Lisa Chan have published. And as I speak about that book, I want to pause and remind all of you that the Carmel United Methodist Church really offers a great opportunity, a streaming opportunity that's available for everyone, and it's Right Now Media. And if you have not accessed that yet, all you need to do is call the office, you get an access code, and you will be able to load that and stream on your television or any device that you'd like to use. And that's an annual subscription that the church pays for, but it's available for free to everyone. So it's almost like having Christian Netflix in your home. We have several of our small groups access that for their studies, and I know one group in particular really likes the studies of Andy Stanley, so they often use that as a part of their group. If you've got children or grandchildren, there are awesome children's videos. If you've heard of Veggie Tales, those are available to you via Right Now Media for free. And also, if you've been very interested and kind of inspired by the series on marriage to work on a little bit more focusing on marriage, there are many, many studies by many, many well-known persons that you can access through that. So I encourage you to consider that. Thanks to all of you who have provided the wonderful wedding pictures outside. I hope you stopped and take a look at those. It certainly can show us that there have been weddings that have occurred in various ages and times of life as we look at the settings and the clothing. And I want to remind husbands, you can invite your wives, or wives, you may invite your husbands next Sunday in between services during our Quick Connect here in the sanctuary. We'll hold a time of blessing of marriages. So I hope that you'll consider participating in that as we close out our series. Week one of our series, I spoke about the need to focus. And so what was that focus to be on? Well, that focus was to be on Jesus, that our relationships are not to be intended to be only about our own energy, but that when we focus on Jesus in our relationships, it brings a greater energy than we could ever provide ourselves. Yesterday, as Jim mentioned, we shared in a wedding here. A piece of their wedding was a moment that they call the sand expression. And what the couples do now is they have this empty vase in the middle, and then they have three smaller vases, one with white sand, and the other two each have a different color. And so I begin to explain that the white sand represents God, and I pour that into the empty vase first, and that's going to be their foundation of their marriage. And I talk about, okay, each of the other two colors represent each of you coming into marriage together, but one thing I never want them to forget is that God is a part of their marriage, so the three of us pour sand in together. And they have then a visual that will remind them to focus on God in their marriage always. Last week, Kristen and Dan Adams were here. They are YouTube lip sync sensationalists, and they talked to us about the importance of laughter in a marriage and in all relationships. And they also shared their own personal testimony of how in their own lives, once they found Christ and focused on Christ in their marriage, what a change that made in their own lives. I liked it, especially at 9 o'clock, one thing that they said, and they emphasized that none of us ever have tools for any relationship to keep that relationship always going forward in a healthy way, considering all of the many, many things that we will encounter. I love that because that's a piece, one of the pieces of what I talk to couples every time that I meet with them as a part of my premarital time, and I ask them, in today's world, don't we talk a lot about preventative health for our bodies? Don't we do a lot of things to prevent any kinds of things coming up? And then don't we practice preventative health because we want to have healthy teeth so we see a dentist and do all these procedures so that we can have healthy and nice-looking teeth? Well, I say the same ought to apply for marriages. If marriage is one of the most important relationships that we have here on earth, and knowing that we have all kinds of seasons and things that go on within our lives, I recommend that within the first 6 months that a couple is married, that they pursue a relationship with a counselor, finding one that they can both relate to, and to go in to have that, just that first meeting. It's called creating a baseline, so that counselor can come to know you as you are in the beginning, and can begin that relationship on a good basis right there. And then the counselor will say, okay, I want you to call me when you hit a bump. Call me when you get stuck. Call me when you're going through a transition. And I will know those transitions. That first baby comes. That year after the first baby is one of the most difficult years of marriage. Call me when you're struggling with your teenagers. Call me when maybe there's a job change and it's just creating a struggle. Call me even if you're having trouble with your in-laws. So I encourage them, because that becomes a tool to help them navigate all of those experiences and remaining strong in their relationship together. A couple weeks ago, we saw a video of one of our own church members, the Casabombs, as they talked about marriage and as they had shared together many years. And today, I'd like to share with you words of wisdom from yet another one of the couples of our congregation. So will you watch with me as the Hearsts share with us?
My name is Forrest Hearst. I'm better known as Woody Hearst for some reason. This is Martha Hearst, and she's better known as Marty Hearst. Marty moved to Muncie when she was 10 years old, and we attended the same church and participated in the activities in that church. So since she was 10 years old when she moved there, we've known each other for 80 years.
Well, we really started dating each other on a tennis court. We both enjoyed tennis, and that's where we really got together as soon-to-be married couple.
We made this union work for 66 years.
Marriage is a long commitment, actually, and it requires a lot of compromise, a lot of cooperation, and a lot of trust. I also think it would be wise to adopt Christian principles, and if you're not a Christian, well, adopt them anyway. Go by the principles if you can. And don't forget to pray when things will get tough sometimes. Go to God with prayer.
Our Christian values and making that part of our life has kind of been the center of our lives. We've been a part of a church, mainly this church, for a lot of years, and we've enjoyed every moment.
I'll have to add on that this church has been so wonderful for us. We came in 1959, so that means we've been here 59 years. And we have seen so many things that have happened. And it seems like this old ship just gets better and better. It's my strength. And after 80 years that we've known each other, he's almost like breathing in and breathing out, and he's my life.
I love just sharing each and every day with her. Just being with her every day is great, and I love that.
Thank you.
Special thanks to Woody and Marty Hearst for that. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and holy God, we praise you and thank you for the wisdom that we can find through you and in you for our relationships, marriages, and all relationships. So, Lord, I just pray that each one of us will hear something today spoken that will inspire us. In the name of Jesus, amen. I want us to know one thing, and that is that all marriages play a part in God's plan. That God intended there to be marriages, yes, certainly to have children and to have families, but also that all marriages would be a reflection of Jesus Christ himself, the kind of love that he wants us to know and the kind of love that he wants us to share with others. We're called to paint such an attractive picture of marriages that anyone that would look in from the outside and see that special love and that special glow in the relationship, it would make them want to have that kind of relationship with Jesus also. And so I guess it's easy for us to say right now that it's one thing to preach the gospel, but it is yet another thing to display the gospel in our lives. Displaying the gospel is the point of being church. It's the point of each of us individually in our lives, and it is the point of our relationships as in marriage. Another point that I make as a part of premarital time with couples is that I share with them that I have concern when there is more time and money and energy and effort that goes into the wedding than the marriage. So hear that. I'm concerned with more time and money that goes into the wedding than the marriage. Because we need to remember is the wedding is a day, right? It's an event. It's a moment. But the marriage is to be forever. And that's why I often remind them that the relationship is not just between two people, but it's between three. For a cord of three strands is not easily broken. I don't know that in the book of Revelation, that as I read a scripture to you, I don't know that the interpretation of that scripture was intended to lead us to these extravagant weddings and receptions. But hear this scripture. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, for and his bride has made herself ready. To her it has been granted to be clothed with fine linen, bright and pure. And I think that certainly in that scripture, the vision points there to the preparation. Perhaps we have taken it to understand it's the preparation of how the bride is dressed. But I wonder if what was really referred to in that scripture is that it's the internal preparation of the bride that is so bright and so pure that it just radiates. And often speaking of that radiating face, what a special moment always to stand up front with a groom as he awaits his bride to come down the aisle. What a beautiful moment of just such happiness. So I'm wondering as we look at this scripture, and so it makes me wonder, so okay, what have we done with or to this scripture as we practice weddings today? So I thought maybe it'd be fun to look at some numbers or just what the reality is of our weddings today as I share my concern that we put so much emphasis into the wedding. So I'm sure that the Apostle John, when he wrote those words in the book of Revelation, that he would never have thought that speaking of someone to be clothed with fine linen, bright and pure, would be made into a show titled Saying Yes to the Dress. Don't think that was his plan. And I wonder if he also would be very surprised and shocked if he knew about weddings today. So I thought I'd go online and do a little research and came to a site that you could plug in your zip code and it helps you know how much you're spending on weddings today, families in that zip code. So I put in 46033. So here's what I learned. In our zip code, we spend an average of $28,000 to $47,000 on a wedding. Remember, it's one day, right? The average wedding cost, it increases logically by the number of guests that we have. So if you can see on this table that I pulled out of that site, it can go anywhere from $12,000 to, I guess, to $127,000. And I'm sure there are other weddings that will cost even beyond that. But I also need to say, when we look at these costs, we need to remember that none of these costs include the honeymoon expenses. None of these costs include the bachelor and bachelorette parties, which in today's world are often destination parties. So we go to either Las Vegas or California for those today. And none of the costs include a destination wedding. So there you have it. Is this what maybe would have been referred to in this scripture when it talked about being clothed with fine linen, bright and pure? So as we look at this, I want us to refocus on what God intends for marriages to be an embodiment of God, and that is to make the marital relationship a beautiful testimony to God, a witness so that anyone that sees the interaction going on in that relationship will see the face of God. That's what God intends. But sometimes here is what happens. And I want to look to words that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus to see what he has to say. wasn't so long ago, that you were mired in that old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it, all of us, doing what we felt like doing. When we felt like doing it, and all of us in the same boat. It's a wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with a whole lot of us. Instead, immense in mercy and with an incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did all this on his own with no help from us. Then he picked us up and set us down in highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. As I look back at that scripture, what I hear in there is in the beginning, it certainly describes the kinds of things that can lead us out of a healthy relationship or a growing relationship, the things that would distract us, that become blockades. And he's talking about that and how frustrated God is when he sees it. But then there's that big word in there, instead. And instead of just allowing us to always go down that path, instead, here's what God wants to do for us in those moments. God wants to take our sin-dead lives and make us alive in Christ. That's what God desires at that point. But what it takes at that point, even though it's God's desire, is work on our part as we talk about the daily commitment and the daily work that relationships require to remain healthy and growing. For about the last, I think, decade maybe, there's been a growth in popularity of the zombie shows, and I don't know if any of you watch the zombie shows. It seems to be so popular, and it wasn't something I was necessarily very interested in, but having a young adult son and something that he enjoyed, I felt like that's something I needed to check out a little bit so I can understand. And so I've checked it out. I still don't understand, but but I tried. Anyway, shows like The Walking Dead, maybe you've heard of, or the World War Z, or there's a whole bunch of them, and there's comic books, and they're all over the place. Well, I guess one of the foundational things in those shows is that zombies are fictional, mindless flesh eaters. They are ghouls who consume the living. So they represent, I think they're a metaphor for consumption. Consumption can be sin, and that can be what consumes and destroys our relationships. So can we see how maybe it can be a metaphor for what happens and destroys marriages? And in these, you know, people walk around like a bunch of corpses, like a bunch of zombies. And I think that there can almost be a theological zombie film when we ask, well, is this what God intended for marriages to be like? What God would hope is that honestly, what would be shown to be a difference between a Christian and a non-Christian marriage would be very apparent in the way that life is shared together. It would be apparent that the love of Christ was very alive in that relationship. So I want us to turn to our scripture lesson for today, and it's in the book of Ezekiel. And you may not be familiar when I say in the book of Ezekiel, but when I tell you it's about dry bones, many of you may be able to connect with it then. So I'm going to share with you from chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord came upon me. Now this is Ezekiel talking, me. And he, God, brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. I can't imagine that. He led me all around them. They were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. Tells me that they were very, very dead. He said to me, mortal, can these bones live? And then Ezekiel answered, O Lord God, you know. And then he said, or God said to Ezekiel, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. You shall know that I am the Lord. And now in the next verses, hear the good news. So Ezekiel prophesied as he had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and the flesh had come upon them, and the skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them, so there's no life yet. And then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. I prophesied, meaning Ezekiel again, as he commanded me, and the breath came upon them, and they lived. And they stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. This message was spoken, that last portion in particular, spoken to a nation, the nation of Israel, that was very defeated by the Babylonians at that time. The message was for that group, that nation of people, that they needed to know they were dry bones, but there was still hope. And that's the same thing that message brings to us today. As individuals and relationships, even though it's dry bones, there is still hope. If you just turn to Christ, there is still hope for you. There are some moments in a wedding ceremony that you always include. You always do exchange of vows. You always do an exchange of rings, an important part. But included in the ceremony also is a short message. And I always say short because I always remember that couple is standing up in front of all of the people gathered there, and the bride is usually standing on 3-inch spike heels. So let's keep it short. And over the years, I create a special message for every couple as I've gotten to know them in the experience and the time that we have together. But there's always one piece of my message that I include in virtually every single wedding ceremony. And I include it because, well, first of all, it often brings a chuckle from the people, and I think it's important that we laugh. But I also include it because I think the message is so true. And I know that as I see heads that will nod in the middle of the story that I share. So I remind the couple that we'd be burying our heads in the sand if we did not acknowledge that in all relationships that there will be times of challenge. There will be circumstances that will come up when we feel very hurt or angry. And in short, it takes more faith to stay married than it does to get married. And in the midst of highly stressful, difficult times, when one or both of you is weak and distracted, you will be called on to have more faith than you ever thought you had. And there will be times when the only one that you can trust is God. There will be days when the two of you will need to remind yourselves from where your love comes. Some days you will look across the breakfast table at one another and all of your morning glory and say, "Who said eternity?" Neither of you has enough strength, patience, or courage, or simple presence to sustain each other. But the mystery of the Spirit of God can find a way through the darkness if we give ourselves and our relationship to God. And I remind them to bear with one another and remember the wisdom in the book of Ecclesiastes that reminds us that a 3-strand cord is not easily broken. God intends our relationships, intends for us to grow old, as the hearse shared with us this morning. And I want to close with another picture of what it looks like that God intends for all of our marriages. There was a couple, and he was 95 and she was 96, and they fell in love in the 6th grade and had been married for 75 years, but they'd been best friends for 83 years. The wife's mind was slipping, but her husband simply sat next to her for hours at a time with his hand resting on her arm, and so just pictured that moment. I wonder what went through his mind when he sat beside her. What must have he thought and felt when he reached out and made contact with that arm that had been beside him for 83 years? I picture those stored up memories like a photo book, and I imagine them kind of flipping through it page by page, remembering scenes of laughter, scenes of falling in love, getting married, having kids, having grandkids, having great grandkids, the emotional depth would be intensified by arguments, tragedies, loss, and heartbreak. And then I imagined them flipping the final pages leading up to the back cover, where the scenes would be of the two of them finishing their life together, side by side here on earth, but yet looking forward to eternity. Christ came so that, and he said, we can have life and we can have it abundantly. And the way that we find that is through a relationship with Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and holy God, we do praise you and thank you that you are part of all of our lives and all of our relationships, and you bring something to it that humanly none of us could ever possibly bring. So help all of us in all of our relationships to turn to you. In the name of Jesus, amen.